In the 1880s and 90s, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute students of iron metallurgy and their professor traveled from Troy to spend several days touring the mines at Crown Point, Port Henry, and Mineville. A senior trip could include up to 30 students. The school newspaper carried varying accounts of the adventure from year to year.
On Thursday morning, October 13th, 28 members of the senior class started on the annual metallurgical trip. A special train car had been secured, which was decorated, as it annually was, with an enormous banner displaying in large letters the following: RPI, rah, rah! And with a flurry of songs and class yells, the car moved out and headed north.
What a beautiful day! And then the ride by moonlight along Lake Champlain afforded a theme for a poet, rather than for a prospective engineer.
The students were given rooms at the Lee House in Port Henry, and then they would take the train to Witherby and the mining sites.
Starting from Port Henry on the Lake Champlain and Moriah Railroad, this road is of standard gauge and has an ascent to Mineville of 1,350 feet in 6.5 miles.
Mineville is the place where the ore, principally magnetite, is obtained and sent to the furnace. It is a very pure ore containing nearly 70% of iron, and there are several shafts leading to pockets where it is worked.
The large mine is an enormous hole, nearly 400 feet in depth.
Huge pits spread in every direction. From the outside banks, you could see narrow arches in the solid rock or ore leading to the excavations underground. Over the years, pillars would give way, letting huge areas of solid rock and earth crash from the surface into the depths below. One observer of the time wrote, "It was no place for drunken men, or those that walk in darkness about here, for you cannot go in any direction without coming very soon to one of these dangerous pits."
We had to be careful, but these mines at this place formed an interesting feature of study, and the fine hoisting machinery was a revelation to many. We descended another shaft, however, going to the depth of 350 feet and watched the mining process. The descent into some of the mines was an exciting trip, which, to the uninitiated, did not seem to be entirely devoid of danger. One of our number here met with the only accident which occurred on the trip, falling into a hole about 6 feet deep and bruising his face and hands.
Part of the class walked up the entrance instead of being hoisted in the bucket, there being a stairway of 250 steps to the inclined plane which led into the depths of the mine. The scene in the mines, however, was well worth the trip. The electric lights made the shadowed portions only more intense, while in its full glare, the particles of magnetite glistened like diamonds.
What we see from here, headquarters, shafts, changing house, and memorial hall, these were for the workers. The RPI students never visited these places. The white building directly to the east of the company headquarters comprised the company-built hospital. It was certainly the site of plenty of grisly surgeries, amputations, and other procedures to deal with numerous injuries that took place in the mines. Next to the former office building and hospital is the number 21 mine, now fenced in and posted, though a peek between the trees reveals the enormous magnitude of the open pit. Unlike most of the deep underground mining that took place in Moriah and Crown Point, Number 21 mine was the only open pit. It was an attempt to strip mine Adirondack magnetite. In its day, it was one of the largest and most impressive iron mines in the world. These days, it's overgrown with trees and partly filled in with water, yet this giant bowl used to be a bustling center of work. Shaft and hoist houses, ore crushers and separating machinery, and a rail yard once occupied this land.
My name is Archie Rosenquist. I am currently retired from all my activities, except I'm the vice president of the Moriah Historic Society. I also work at the train station greeting trains on volunteer. I do a lot of volunteer work. I've been in the state here in New York State since 1941. We migrated here from Colorado. My father was a miner and came out here in 1941 to work in the mines at Mineville. I got married when I was young and was out to make as much money as I could, so Even against my father's wishes, I went to work in the mines. He didn't think I should, but I went to work in the mines for 90 cents an hour in 1951, and worked as a laborer. As I got and built some seniority and everything, I had the opportunity to become a hoistman, operating the underground hoists that hoisted men and ore and materials. And then later on, switched into the engineering department and worked as a mining engineer, where I got to see the whole picture of the mining, not just an individual hoistman's job or a driller's job or anything. I got to go around and observe almost every operation in the mine. We had a whole vocabulary for mining. You have a shaft, which is either vertical or inclined when you go from the surface down to the lower levels. And then off the shafts, you had drifts, which were horizontal, that took you over to the ore or anything. When you got to developing your ore, you developed what we called raises, which you started like the bottom of a staircase. You started at the bottom and excavated the material around all the rest of the stairs as you went up. And then, of course, you had pockets, which on a farm, you have elevators where you put your grain or ensilage in there and take take it out of the bottom. So a pocket in the mine was the same thing as an elevator on a farm. You dumped the ore in the top, and it went down to where they could load it in the skip. And of course, a skip was a car to convey the ore to the surface. You know, you had skips and you had man cages. And just a whole vocabulary that you don't see anyplace else.
The 21 pit was first worked in 1864. And by 1909, this single mine had yielded more than 5 million tons of ore. The pit, like many other mines in the area, supplied ore for the building of the USS Monitor, the Ironhold steamship built during the Civil War.